Now, this week we've spoken about the effect of the weather on dogs and cats, and elephants and chimpanzees and all the animals in the zoo. And now it's the turn of the birds and the bees and the bugs and the butterflies. And who better to talk about that than Aina Ní Leabhar, who's on the line. How are you doing, Aina?
I'm grand, Gibray, not a bother. I mean, how are you yourself?
You've decamped to County Clare.
I have. I've been down here since last October. So what would you be doing up in Dublin with all that heat and all that COVID when I could be swimming in the sea every day down here in Kilrush? Everybody should do it.
Yeah, I'm so jealous. Listen, first stop, earwigs. There was somebody up in the office spotted a tweet from a poor woman whose six-year-old spotted an earwig, and the six-year-old says, "I heard that earwigs go into your ears." And the mother said, no, they don't. But her inner child was saying, they go into your ear and burst your eardrum. And now there's a myth and a half, isn't it?
That's right. And they eat all your brains because there's very carnivorous earwigs around the place. This is the complete rubbish, as you know very well. Yes. Earwigs eat flowers. So unless you have your ear drum full of flower petals, they are not going to go into your ear or eat your eardrums or any other blinking thing. That's all a big codswallop, because the name earwig is a corruption of a different word altogether, which isn't probably fit for broadcast.
Right.
You know, there's a bird called the wheat ear. And has nothing to do with wheat or ears. This bird has a white rump.
Aha.
And its name originally was the white arse.
Aha.
And then it became a white ear, and then it became a wheat ear.
So it's an arsewig,
so
is
with
it?
The ear
an
wig.
Arsewig, right, okay.
Yeah, an arsewig, because the wig at the bottom covered its tail end, the two pincers.
Ah, there you go. Now, explain that to your six-year-old and you'll
be
fine.
Be saying that on the wireless, so...
No, but it'll be...
And, of course, they should have called it a rear wig, I suppose.
Yes, a rear wig. Now... unnaturally, of course they're not unnatural, but they're like very unusual temperatures this week. So how does that affect our bug population?
We have one week when the temperature might reach 30 and we think the whole country is going to melt. I mean, insects and things that fly absolutely love it.
Right.
I mean, it rains if you're a bee and it's raining and the rain drops and you're half the size of yourself. It's like being out in a huge shower of terrible hailstones. So insects fly in the sunshine. They need to fly in order to meet members of the opposite sex with a view to forming liaisons. So the butterflies are out in force, the bees are out in force, the dragonflies are out in force. And other summers when we had rain all during July, this wouldn't happen because they couldn't fly in the rain. So it's good news for those kind of creatures who are delighted to be out and about looking for nectar and being at singles party, really. So
yeah.
If you're in your garden looking at your buddleia bush or your nice flowers there, lovely lavenders, you'll see all these insects delighted with themselves in the sunshine. So it's good news for those creatures.
I saw, I was looking out this morning and I saw a magpie chase a butterfly around the garden. Now, luckily for the butterfly, he wasn't successful.
Magpies don't chase anything.
Would they? Yes.
It's a change
yeah.
from the cat, I suppose, to be chasing the butterflies.
So magpies
would eat it.
Would they? Yeah. It's hard to know.
Magpies would eat anything they can get their beaks around. But the butterfly obviously fluttered off and escaped with any luck, I suppose.
Yeah. I've developed a lovely sort of relationship with butterflies. They tend to lead me when I'm out running because you interrupt them and then they just fly ahead of you. And now in my head, they're sort of leading the way. That's not the case at all. But with this weather, we would see more butterflies out and about.
We would definitely. Don't tell me you're out running in this heat. You're mad. But anyway, the butterflies, they're actually doing a survey of butterflies at the moment to see have we more butterflies this year than last year, the National Biodiversity Centre, and we'll be talking about that next week on the Mooney Show.
Right.
But the 9 or 10 most common butterflies that you see in your garden, you're asked to look at these and send them into the Biodiversity Centre. And they actually have a guide to this on the centre if you press the button. So the small tortoise shell and the speckled woods, they're all out at the moment. Those lovely orange ones with blue dots on them are the tortoise shells. And then you might get the Red Admiral, that lovely one that's black and white and red. Gorgeous one. And that's a migrant one that comes here in the summertime. So there's loads of those around at the moment. And I'm sure the ones you see when you're out running include several white ones as well, because we have 4 different or even 5 different species of white butterfly, and they're flying at this time of the year as well. So we only have about 35 species, and there's probably only about 15 of them that are very common. So they're a group that you could actually get to know. I mean, in the wintertime, time you're doing the garden birds. So now in the summertime, you can do the garden butterflies. Something else to be doing.
What about the little blue ones? They're the ones I'm most fond of.
Well, the blue ones, there's two blue ones. There's the holly blue, which is the one you get in the city because the first ones lay their eggs on holly and the second ones lay their eggs on ivy. There's two goes of them. So the first group were out earlier in the year and then we'll have them coming again later on towards the end of August. And then you have the other ones, the common blues, which you get by the seaside because they like alkaline soil. So if you're running along an Esker Ridge or somewhere where there's flowers growing, because where they occur is where their food plant is. And each butterfly species has a particular food plant to lay its eggs on. They don't just lay them on any old grass or anything going by. They have a specific plant that they lay their eggs on, and that determines where you actually find them. So you tend to get your common blues where you have alkaline conditions where their food plant will grow the birds for trefoil, whereas the other one, the holly blue, is in city gardens where there's holly and ivy growing, and there's lots of that around as well.
Isn't nature wonderful? We were speaking to Professor Sweeney about climate change earlier in the week. So what about our fauna when it comes to, because we will have more weeks like this. It will become more common as in the future. So is that going to change what we'll see around us when it comes to bugs and insects?
It's still under 30. We're not going to things like they have in Canada or they have in other very warm tropical places. I mean, many of our animals, our mammals, for example, are nocturnal and they come out at night when it's much cooler. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that'll be the case continually. Things like badgers, things like hedgehogs, they come out at night and it's always cooler at night. So, for them, it probably won't make too much of a difference. Things like squirrels are a daytime creature, things like deer, but, they have enough wit to shelter away. The squirrels are in the trees where you've got leaves and shade, and your deer are in areas where there's woodland as well too. It's things like slugs and snails that are going to be in trouble in a way, I suppose, because they need wet conditions in order to be able to slide along the grass. When the weather breaks now and we have a drop of rain and you go out to your garden, the place will be covered in snails and slugs that were holed up and with their cells sealed up waiting for the weather to break. So if you, a prolonged spell of dry weather probably would reduce the numbers of those. But I can't see people out crying if there's no slugs. Can you, Ray?
Well, there's loads of snail and slug trails out in the patio these days. So they're out at night, obviously, crisscrossing the patio.
Well, they're out at night. Well, they always come out at night because that's when it's moister and that's when it's, safer, and the birds aren't there to gobble them up. So they're sensible. The ones that come out during the day, they don't make it. Yeah. There's no room in nature for eejits. They all have to do the thing right or they go under.
Yeah. Tell me about the swimming. Is it something you've always done, or are you a new kid in town, new to it, or...?
Oh, God, no, I've always been swimming ever since I went to the Gaeltacht when I was 15 and decided I was going to teach myself to swim. How hard could it be? We had this outdoor ocean pool in Ranafast in Donegal, and I said I was going to jump in, close my eyes, wave my arms and hold my breath, and surely I would learn how to swim. And I did. I've been swimming in the sea ever since, which is great.
Okay, yeah. And have you noticed that more and more people are doing it?
Well, they are this year because
the weather,
They're holidaying at home, and Irish people are fairly good at jumping into the sea, and it's lovely. I mean, the water has got a lot warmer now, particularly over here on the west coast. The water is warmer than on the east coast. We have it up to 15 degrees now, which is quite warm, given that it was 11 in May when I was going in. That was pretty cold, all right. You'd be white up to the elbows, but you can stay in as long as you like now. It's great.
Brilliant. Okay, just three questions before we go. We've about a minute. Can you ask Aina how to get rid of ticks that appear to be in the grass all around our house and get in your skin and are hard to remove? Is that a good question?
That's the trouble. I mean, ticks are looking for a feed of blood. I don't know where this person is living, but ticks can give you Lyme's disease. So, don't be going out feeding them. Wear your trousers tucked into your socks. Find it on. I mean, is this a farmland? I mean, you hardly have ticks in your lawn. That seems strange, because they go to animals looking for a feed of blood, and they're generally found in areas where there are deer or cattle or something like that. So it depends on where the person is, really, the answer to that.
Okay.
But ticks can be nasty things.
Yes. Quick one for Tom. I spotted red lily beetles in my garden for the first time this summer. Can you ask Ian if they're common and if they're harmful to plants?
Well, they're a new introduction, and they'll gobble up all your lilies. So, okay, you know, squish them when you get them, because they're an invasive species and they'll destroy your lilies. So okay, we don't want those.
Andy Lennon's book, Our Wild World, From the Birds and Bees to Our Boglands and the Ice Caps, is out now in all good bookshops. And of course, Aina is on with Derek Mooney Monday nights on RT Radio 1. Aina, enjoy the rest of your stay down in Clare and the sea swimming and all that. And thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today. Have a good weekend.
And thanks for the plug. Goodbye now. Okay,
see you,
Aina.
Bye. Slán. That's Aina Lennon. That's it from us. Sarah McInerney is on Drive Time. We are back on Monday at 3 o'clock. Whatever you're doing over the weekend, enjoy it and do it safely.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.